So, oh, Hare Krishna, we are getting tired, no? I can see. Our beds are full and our halls are empty. Hare Krishna, that's normal. It's the sea air. There's more oxygen in this air which comes from the more ions, which is ions is some little particles in the air, and our bodies are not accustomed to this type of oxygen which is there, more oxygen and more ions. So the response is that we can relax very much, and I guess all of us need that a little bit to be able to rest better, relax more. Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava.
Yeah.
Sharanaravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Anand Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Prem Sita Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srila Petu Viratha Shivasa Jigor Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mayapur Namal Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premana All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to CC. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Vishnu Hare Krishna. Sankirtan in some, I believe, some from town of France, and it's Spain actually. Oh, good. So I have prepared myself for this morning to give a lecture about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but with a certain focus. Focus is Sankirtan Leela, and I call this lecture Hare Krishna, Good Morning Maharaj. The Kirtan of Lord Gauranga as the Hare Krishna movement, we become more and more aware of the necessity to take exclusive chanting Hare Krishna. This time it is crucial for us to understand just how to chant Hare Krishna as we grow more experienced in our literature of the Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita. We are all of a sudden surprised to find out that this is really a detailed science which has roots in a very ancient tradition, and it is very important for us to now become aware of the details of this ancient science. The Bhagavatam gives us I think you have increased the volume to a degree that there is feedback. So if you could please go down with the volume, I will promise to speak louder, and in this way save my audience from a nervous breakdown. So have you heard me? Prabhu, Prabhu, Sound Prabhu, please put the volume a little down, I will speak louder because there's feedback in it. And the Bhagavatam gives us an apt example of using a mantra. It brings the point of aikantyam, that is, to focus yourself with a single-minded orientation on the goal of your practice. It's called satya, as we know. Now, it is important to not be spaced out Hare Krishna chanter, because if you are not spaced in, it means concentrated, but your attention is all over, then your practice will not bring you to the goal of your practice. And the Bhagavatam, in order to make this point of aikantyam, or single-minded orientation while the practice goes on, gives us an example from the world of archery. An archer, most important goal is to fix his attention on the mark. If he does this, his body will align itself, means orient itself in the proper way, so that the arrow will go into the mark. So the Bhagavatam says the mantra is the bow. The living entity, the pure living entity, that means the soul, is the arrow, and the target or mark is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This same analogy you will find spread over through the Upanishads. It is an analogy which wants to point out to us that we need to fix ourselves on the mark, on the goal of our practice, in order to reach there. In this way, you can say Krishna consciousness is not, I would like to bring your attention to the word, not an automatic process. It is automatically yielding the results if you practice it properly with your attention fixed on the goal of your practice, but it will miss the mark, and in this way not be an automatic process if you don't know exactly how to align yourself and bring yourself to the thing. I think I will give as a proof a statistical figure. We lose around 90% of our members in the process of growth of a few years, because we don't, our members are missing the mark very often, and therefore feel disappointed in their spiritual development. So with these Japa and Kirtan retreats, we try to give our little contribution. There are many more learned speakers amongst our esteemed devotees, to help the devotees to not miss the mark in the most important practice, that is chanting the holy names. And it is with this background that you will now hear this class, a very humble attempt. I can say I'm speaking about big goals, but my own delivery and comprehension is, there's a lot of room for improvement, but I will attempt now to bring a few points out. What is the Kirtan of Gauranga? How does he do it? How it started? What are certain implications for our own Kirtan, maybe, and so on and so forth. And all of this we will try to do in an hour's time. Let us start with a little history first, the beginning of the Kirtan movement. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Bengal was ruled by Muslim invaders, and but something very wonderful happened. I will not tell in detail. That at the time of his appearance was a sun eclipse, a moon eclipse, and the Hindus, in order to avoid the bad effects of the moon not being present, did auspicious activities, and one of them included the loud chanting of the names of the Lord. So while it was so loud and so unusual, they all came out of their suppressed religious practice. They thought, okay, these Muslims are on our case, but the moon is also on our case now. So let us, the moon is stronger than the Muslims, so let us chant the holy name. Their father chanted, Hari, Hari, Hari. A lot of chanting was going on. And the Muslims, seeing this unusual display of piety, you know, at that time, unusual display of chanting, they said, they were just imitating, Hari Hari, they also said like this, and all over there was the loud chanting of the names of Hari, foretelling the Lord's mission. When Mahaprabhu, but he, as we heard yesterday from our Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, Mahaprabhu hit his the reason why he had appeared in the beginning. He fully dove into his Vidya Leela, accumulating knowledge. He needed that for his mission because he wanted to. He became the best of all Gyanis, and then threw all of this overboard into the sea of oblivion, and started to and said, "Bhakti is much higher than Gyana. We don't need Gyana." Shock, because he was so knowledgeable about Gyana, everyone had to believe him. If he's the prophet. Supreme knower of Gyana, if he says it's nothing, Bhakti is better, then yeah, it must be true. So, anyways, when he came back from Gaya, where his transformation happened, he was a transformed man. Gone was the air of Gyan around him, and he was just singing and chanting. There was a contemporary who saw him coming down the path from Gaya, and this person addressed Gadadhar Pandit, and there's a song about this. It is written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked when he was a transformed man. This man tells him, "Oh, Gadadhar, I saw the most extraordinary person on the road from Gaya. His form was very handsome, and he roared just like a thundercloud." Oh, very loud. "And his eyes, they rained tears, as if they had become rain clouds." But he couldn't keep himself steady with all this ecstasy, roaring and crying. He rolled about on the ground. His voice was choked up in the ecstasy of love. "All glories to that Lord, the son of Sachi Devi." Imagine you would stand by the path, and all of a sudden, your eyes would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tall figure, as we learned here, taken the pearls from the bottom of the ocean of Bhakti, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He had taken them in his heart, and now he was in a singing. This is an analogy. Raining them down on everyone in the form of loud chanting of the names of the Lord. He had to become so overcome by this himself that he would cry, roll on the ground. Just imagine this. See, devotees have prayed that Gauranga would come like this in their heart. Later, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself expressed his wonderment about what had happened to him by this chanting of the holy name, or by receiving the holy name. He came to his Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, and he said to him, "My dear Lord, you have made me mad with this chanting. I'm a transformed man. I'm different." I sometimes joke in my seminars. I say, if this would happen to someone in ISKCON, most probably the GBC would throw him out. This is, of course, a bad joke, a provocative joke. I think it wouldn't be like this. They would investigate if this would be real or not real, and then would pass the judgment. It is real and would glorify this devotee. Guru Maharaj then, you know, had a disciple. Imagine Mahaprabhu comes there and says, "Is everything going all right? I just feel so." And he used the word, mad. What kind of mantra have you given me? Is this going according to plan, or is something extraordinary and unwanted happening to me?" Ishwarapuri said, "My child, this is very good. This madness is wanted on this path. It is the desired outcome. It's the love of Godhead." And then, listen to this, my dear devotees. Ishwarapuri, in order to substantiate his claim that this ecstasy was perfectly normal and wanted, quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam, which, according to Ishwarapuri and later Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is the sum total of the Bhagavatam's instruction. It's the essence. It's the boiled down milk, the burfi of the Bhagavatam, the core of its teaching. The verse starts with Evam Vrata. Many of you know this verse. Of course, it explains in English that as a person advances on the path, he will develop love for Krishna, which for a particular form of Krishna, Gopinath, Shyam Sunda, the Vrindavan Krishna, in other words. And what he will do is, he will always sing the name of his beloved. Just like, imagine many of you are now parents, or are parents, and often you may talk about your child whom you love so much. Or some of you are newly wedded, and you will talk about your partner, but when you really go, let us say, become ecstatic, when it's an ecstatic form of love which we don't experience in these relationships, which we can only experience in the relationship of God, then this natural talking or about the beloved grows to such an extent that you will always repeat the name Krishna, 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 Syam Sundara, Radhi, Radhi. You will always, and this will come to a degree that you will laugh and you will jump about and so on. And that's the whole essence of our Krishna conscious path. It's the absorption in Krishna to such a degree that you always chant the holy name, and as a result of this chanting, don't fall asleep, but quite the opposite. You jump and dance and stumble and choke and cry and so on. So Mahaprabhu showed all these symptoms and now was ready to start his mission from this level of ecstasy. We all have heard he had his own school at a young age already, and in a school, a Sanskrit school, it's customary that when the students open their books, they will call out Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Yeah, this is a customary thing. Hari Hari. They open the books. It's just like I don't know, when you start your motorcycle in the West, you know, which will take you, you will sing maybe a contemporary song, you know, or it's like it goes together somehow. So they opened the books and they chanted Hari Hari. But when they saw what happened to Mahaprabhu, who just returned from Gaya, they couldn't believe their eyes. Just these two names of Krishna, there is enough to send him to the highest levels of ecstasy. He started to cry. Then he started to faint. All these things were visible. They thought maybe that's the effect from the pilgrimage. Today let us not have school. Mahaprabhu, he said also, I can't teach now. Why don't we have a bath? Let's go to the Ganga. So he took them to the Ganga, and on the way to the Ganga, they passed a Brahmana called Ratnakarva, who was involved in reading the Bhagavatam always, and he chanted it. The time when Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his students passed by, a famous verse which I would like to recite for your pleasure, then I will give the translation. Baha pidam natavara vapu kanayo kanikaram vibratvasha kanaka kapisham vaijajantim chamalam. Rantran Venu Adara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Vinder Vrindaranyam Svapararamanam Pravishat Gita Kirti. It describes Krishna at a particular time when he enters the forest of Vrindavan. It describes his beautiful form, how he looks, and this describes his playful leela, how he plays his flute and goes into the forest, skipping his like this. He wears a peacock feather ornament on his head. Some more descriptions about how he looks. Blue kanikara flower on his ear. He's dressed in a garment. What is the color of the garment? Brilliant as gold. Yeah, it's gold. And he has this, you know, he touches the dust of the garment with his lotus feet. When he takes foot to a new position in the dust of Vrindavan, everyone can see what
footprints.
The footprints of Krishna, correct. There is a bow amongst all the Vrijpati ants, and the ants, and every animal in Braj, and also any human being, they never ever pass over the footprint of Krishna. It means they never destroy the imprint. And even the wind respects the imprint of Krishna, the dust doesn't wipe it away. Krishna's lotus footprint spread all over Vrindavan. That's why Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna left Vrindavan, would not leave his house, because he would be reminded everywhere on Krishna, and that would cause so much pain now where Krishna was absent from Raj. So Mahaprabhu hears this description, this beautiful description about Krishna, and he is so moved again that he begins to cry, Hari Hari, collapses on the ground, and a second Ganga starts. There's a Ganga in the riverbed, and there's a Ganga which flows from the eyes of Mahaprabhu. This is how Mahaprabhu is touched by his experience of chanting Hare Krishna. He is in love. He's clearly in love. But to a degree which is not perceived in this world, it's more intense. So Mahaprabhu tried again to give his school class. The same scene repeated itself. When the students opened the books, Mahaprabhu was gone in the world of ecstasy. No? And he said, jumped up and said, chant Hare Krishna. No, chant the holy name. And Mahaprabhu at that time, the students asked, how do we do this? You always say, Bolo Hari Hari, but how do we do this? And then Mahaprabhu did his, you could say, that's where his first kirtan started in earnestness. He taught them to chant Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan.
And the students gathered around him in a circle. And surrounding him on all sides, the Lord of Kirtan chanted with them Kirtan. This is, by the way, an authorized dance step. You build a circle in Kirtan. You know, at the center, of course, is the Lord, the Lord whom we worship as the holy name. And this way, this is a circle kirtan. There's a word in the original text like this. Now people were totally challenged when this happened. Everyone, including Sachimata, the mother of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, could not assess this amount of love, because it was unprecedented. It had never been seen before. That this singing with these symptoms of love, singing with love, no? Not singing with boredom, singing with love, singing with affection, with sneha, that type of singing was never seen before. It was extraordinary. It was something which could not be fathomed. Even Sashi Devi, mothers know best, you know, no? Asked Shiva's Pandit, everyone says my son is mad. Is he mad? Do we need to do something? Some had advised Vishnu oil is good for madness. It's anti-vata oil, you know. So Shiva's Pandit went, of course he's a of all Vaishnavas, he saw it, he saw the symptoms and said, no, this is absolutely not madness, this is love of Godhead. But they didn't, no one knew what it is. Even in academic science, there is only the last 5 years scholars have been able to see by some symptoms the difference between ecstasy and epilepsy. Up to 5 years ago, even in medical terms, there was no way of saying differentiating the symptoms. According to academic knowledge, the symptoms of ecstasy are epileptic attacks. You know, even most of the modern scientists still go by this old school, and they think they have no way to account of love of God and its symptoms. No way. Here, Mahaprabhu publicly displayed it, and soon all of Navadvip was like that, in a state of ecstasy. And this was, of course, because the Kirtan had explained it. Kirtan is the way, as we hear from Jiva Goswami, the scholar, to create extraordinary devotional feelings. That's why Kirtan, what we will hear about this a little later, arranges amongst all the sadhanas as the highest sadhana, because it will give quick access, or the fastest access sorry, everyone looks now on the glass. That was not intended. I will not talk. And it just, please, it's a medicine. Must be taken now, otherwise the speaker dies. Untimely death. Sorry for that. So, this kirtan, singing the Lord's name, produces extraordinary devotional feelings. Mahaprabhu soon opened his school for this in Srivat Sangam. And trained his devotees in kirtan. At the beginning, no outsider was allowed. There was no public kirtan. It was simply not allowed. They were tested at the doorsteps. Even the stepmother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Shiva's Thakur, was thrown out of the kirtan.
not stepmother,
mother-in-law. No outsiders. Mahaprabhu wanted to train his devotees in this kirtan. Then it took to the streets. Then it went all over India. This Mahaprabhu who chanted the names Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, Rakshaman, please protect me, Krishna, Pahiman, you know, all these words Mahaprabhu chanted from his heart, and then Mahaprabhu went to Puri. I'm jumping here now. It's not first Sri Vasangam, then he came to Puri, where he did with his kirtan party the Ratha Yatra, and then Mahaprabhu went to South India. It spread all over India, and he came back to Puri, and soon in Puri, really, millions of people who attended that festival were chanting the holy names of Krishna according to this way of kirtan, which was new for them. Even Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, the king, who had seen many kirtan parties in Puri, speaks to Savaboma Bhattacharya and says, I've never seen such type of kirtan. For this kirtan is different from other kirtans. And then Savaboma Bhattacharya explained, yes, it's the Lord's speciality. He is the incarnation of love of Godhead, and he does this kirtan with his followers. This is special. Now, what exactly is kirtan? Kirtan comes from the Sanskrit word kirt, which means to glorify and to praise. Who is to be praised in kirtan? It's not Shiva and Ganesh. There are no Shiva and Ganesh kirtans originally, because it's the one who possesses beauty, courage, knowledge, and is capable of the supermost form of action. This is Jiva Goswami's description of Krishna. He possesses beauty to an extraordinary degree, courage to an extraordinary degree. You know, he has single-handedly fought the huge ocean-like army of Jarasandha. Knowledge is with him, and he has the super form, most form of action. He does his leelas. No one can imitate that. Yeah, this is to be praised, not this. We hear now in the New Age scene, which is street India knowledge. You know, they don't really know what they do. A lot of kirtan, and they have good intention, but they don't know. So we hear all kinds of kirtans, and these are not authorized. Shiva kirtans, and so on. They came later. The one who is to be praised is that who has these praiseworthy attributes to the superlative degree, Krishna. Now, how do you praise him? Well, Mahaprabhu, glorification of the deities, were chanting about his name, form, guna, and lila. They often had lila kirtans, guna kirtans, and so on, and names. And you know, the names which they chanted are not only Hare Krishna. They chanted, for instance, Hari O Rama Rama Hari Hari O Jai Krishna Mukunda Murali Vanamali Hari Bo. They chanted Hari Bo. Mukunda Gopala Vanamali O Rama Krishna Jai Dwani Govinda Gopal. I made up these melodies. I don't know if they were these melodies. These are different names of Krishna, holy names of Krishna, which can be found in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, where Vrindavan Das Thakur has recorded for posterity which names were sung during Mahaprabhu's times. But now, when Mahaprabhu instructed the people of Navadvip how to do kirtan, see, they came every morning to him, the Lord of Kirtan, after the nocturnal kirtans, and they wanted to know about kirtan. They brought jokhurt, flowers, vegetables for the Lord's use, and so on. And then Mahaprabhu, the Lord of Kirtan, introduced them to what he called the Maha Mantra, which we can find in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam. And this is the mantra which we were taught by Srila Prabhupada to chant, to really focus on this Maha Mantra, the main mantra, which you all know, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, what you do in kirtan, you all know, you take up instruments. That's very an important service to the holy name, to learn to take the instruments and to chant in time. That's what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gloss on this. He says the instruments in Mahaprabhu's kirtan chanted on time. Soon we will have very experienced instrument players, and you all should learn at least hand clapping in time. And then what else you do? You dance. This is in the Chaitanya tradition. You raise your arms high. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, by the dancing steps of the devotees, the earth is purified. By their dancing step, so by their raising of the hands, the higher planetary systems are purified. We will hear, I don't know, but I see we have come to the land. So this is, I am up to 8 o'clock. Maybe we will hear about a little bit more about raising hands and playing instruments. They all mean something in our tradition. Then at the end you pay obeisances in the kirtans which we hear about, Keturi Gram kirtans. Narottam Das Thakur pays before he starts even obeisances, but this is he begs everyone to do to empower him for kirtan. This is also a kirtan leaders that we also do in our movement. We want to be appointed. Kirtan leader should be appointed. Not that someone steps forward and just sings because he likes to sing. No, Vaishnava etiquette is more, you please sing. So the Vaishnavas begged Narottam Das Thakur to sing, and he was very moved. He paid his obeisances to them. But we pay obeisances at the end of the kirtan, because see, kirtan means to come into the presence of the Lord. It magnifies the Lord. Why does it do so? Because kirtan, Sanatana Goswami says, like a powerful mantra, attracts the Ishta Dev of the kirtan. If you do Krishna kirtan, Krishna comes actually. He says this in this famous verse where he says, Narada, I'm not in the hearts of the mystical yogis. Narada, I'm also not in Vaikuntha. He doesn't say I'm on email. That's my constant address. He says, I am there where my devotees chant. Tratishami. I'm there. I stand there where my devotees chant my holy name. Why? He becomes attracted, like with a powerful mantra, a devata becomes attracted. Now, this is a knowledge from Tantra. In the Tantra, I only know about black Tantra, and I don't want to give an example of this, but in Tantra, you chant mantras and something comes, you know. So like a powerful mantra, which attracts a far distant object. This is Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Lord actually becomes attracted by kirtan. He says, Sanatana says, the sankirtana of Krishna's names is praised as the best process and the most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna prema. And he gives a reason. It is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. You know, I have not yet learned this art, but it would be nice for fundraising. You go ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then jewels are on your lap and diamonds and so on and so forth. It would be good for temple construction. Maybe one day one devotee will learn this art. So, but not so important. Yes. When you do kirtan, the Lord becomes attracted and sits in your heart. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, but how to chant now? What is Mahaprabhu's instruction? How to do this properly? We heard earlier, when you don't know how to aim your arrow flies to the moon. It doesn't hit the mark. Who of you has... I have precursory knowledge of archery. I've done when I was a little boy. And later one of our congregation members had a long bow, the same bow that Robin Hood used. And there is an art when you shoot it. You have to... it doesn't reach its game, its goal, but you just shoot somehow or other. You have to know how to fix that arrow and shoot it on the mark. So what does Mahaprabhu say, how should we chant? In Shikshastakam, where he gives his instructions on this topic, he mentions two very specific instructions on chanting. The first is, you all know it, but please say it, then we can have a good vibration in the hall. Trinara bisu nichena taro apisa ishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Kirtaniya, you can do the kirtan always of Hari. You must have these qualities. One who thinks himself lower than the grass. You know, the grass, why lower than the grass? Well, the grass thinks. The devotee who thinks I must be lower than the grass thinks the grass is very useful. It has done so much go-seva, it feeds the cows, it makes the roof of a devotee. You know, but I have not been useful in service up till now. You know, more lower than the grass. And then who's more tolerant than a tree? You know, the tree is often slighted. A dog will urinate on the tree. A lover will cut a heart in the tree. I love an elephant, you know. And so much pain is inflicted to the tree, scorching sun, but it's tolerant. In the same way, a devotee, this is the next point, often in this world you are misunderstood. Often even in the Hare Krishna movement. So much rumors, so much misunderstanding, because this is nature. It's in nature. Somehow it comes to you, and it always comes to you from those whom you love most. That's the way.
So who does not, we should not expect personal honor. Don't get flipped out and panic. Yet always be prepared to give respect to others. So if you have these four qualities, then you can chant the holy name of the Lord. The point is humility. Dainya. That's the quality. What else does Mahaprabhu say? He says you can take the name Nama Grahane when you chant the name with a feeling of longing. This is a very important point. Longing is that feeling which makes things which are in the distance come close. When you long, for instance, to be with someone, you really think of that person, and that means he is in the heart. My grandmother loved my father very much because my father was a single child. No, he had a sister, but this sister died in the war. So that is a sad chapter in our family, and we therefore don't speak about it often. So when my father was in Russia, he was one of the last fighting Germans, you know, and no one got out of Russia alive. The soldiers were finally eating the other soldiers because they didn't want to surrender, and my father was one of those hard people, you know, never surrendering, and no one came out alive from Russia. That was known in Germany. One day my mother, or my grandmother, says Ernst Günther is at the door. Everyone was surprised. Now she has also got mad. Ernst Günther doesn't come back from Russia. That was the knowledge. But she rushed to the door. She had actually prepared already in the morning the favorite dish of my father. And then at 12 o'clock or so, he rang the doorbell, and my grandmother exclaimed, "Ernst Günther is at the door." She rushed to the door, opened the door, and there was my father. No one could almost recognize him because he had disguised himself. He had changed something in his face to escape the persecution, and he was there. Yes. How did my grandmother know? She thought so much of him day and night, and it was in the heart. So this longing was a mundane example, which is not telling the... It's just giving us a hint. That is how you chant. In this mood, Vipralamba, that is the teaching of Mahaprabhu. He said, "My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name?" This emotional involvement in chanting, Sanatana Goswami made it a little bit, he perpetrated this. He said, he gave two examples. One should chant like the Chataki bird and the Chakravaki bird. Do you know the Chataki? It's a legendary bird who flies towards the cloud and calls out, "Priya, Priya, my dear one, my dear one." Why does he chant Priya, Priya? It's a sound like this. Because he has not drunken water all this time. He has waited until the monsoon cloud comes and then chants Priya, 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 and flies into the monsoon cloud with extreme longing. He feels starved. He feels, "I need you." This is how chant the holy name, this longing is what captures Krishna. This type of feeling. A possible implication in our kirtan could be we always say dance, but first let the heart dance. Let us concentrate on the holy name. Let us connect with Krishna. Let us call out, "My dear Lord, please, I accept me." You know, let us get into the mood. It's really ironical that we do kirtan in the disco up there, because our kirtan is different from disco dancing. It has nothing to do. In the disco, you put yourself in the center. That's why you have these lights there in the disco. If you notice, in disco dancing, you go in the... I don't know, you have seen from Bollywood movies, there is the idea of the passion. It's about me. Kirtan means it's about Krishna. And how is it about Krishna? You praise him, he's so wonderful, and you long for him. And you do this not from a position of pride, but of absolute dire need. Oh, Krishna. I'm what I am. You know better. You know, Krishna. You just, the English word would be self-effacement, but it is a wrong word also. It only describes what happens from the outside. See, humility, that's very important. It's not, "I'm so useless, I'm so useless, I'm so useless," because then you are still in the center of your thought. Humility is about something else. It's a feeling where you connect with Krishna and in relationship to Krishna. You've not in relationship to your misery which you feel due to your inferiority complex. No, in relationship to Krishna, you feel, "Oh, Krishna, I'm very much separated." Now, there is a very important consideration in the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He said, "One thing rules it all." The example is given. The kirtan, Krishna is there like the sun, but sometimes we can't see the sun when a cloud comes. So when you do kirtan or also japa, you have to be careful that nothing clouds your consciousness. And what clouds you is aparat, the offense. And especially heavy in Mahaprabhu's teachings is the offense against devotees. That is the absolute no-no in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's kirtan. He says, to an offender, the holy name will turn against him. In other words, that tremendous presence or tremendous spiritual presence will turn against him. Krishna is not satisfied with an aparadi. It will turn against him. Even a bath in the Ganga, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Bhagavan, you know, if you think, "Oh, I can offend Vaishnavas, let me quickly take a bath in the Ganga afterwards, then I'm clean." No, the bath of the Ganga will turn against you, the results that Mahaprabhu says. And an example of this is Gopal Chakravarti, who offended Srivas Thakur's nocturnal kirtans. You know what he did? He slandered him with bad propaganda. He put the articles which you use in tantric devi worship, before the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, of Srivas Thakur, implying that what is going on there in the night is simply Devi worship. What they do is they have the five no-nos for Vaishnavas. They eat meat, they have illicit affairs with girls, they drink intoxication, you know, wine and so on, and they do two other things which I don't remember, scandalous things. So he did this, Gopal Chakravarti, and Mahaprabhu, so later he contracted, as the result of this Vaishnava offense, a difficult case of leprosy. In all cultures of the world, lepers who are very infectious, so they are moved to the edge of the town, they are totally removed from public so that there no infection can take place. So this Gopal Chakravarti lived far away from Navadvipa at the banks of the Ganga. One day Gauranga Mahaprabhu came by and listened to what happened. Gopal Chakravarti fell down at his feet and said, "Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "No, never. The Lord of Mercy, the most merciful Lord, that the incarnation of mercy, my dear devotees, the creep, we all sing, Gauranga Karuna Karo, oh Karuna Karuna, oh, Karuna means mercy which is undeserved. You are the undeserved, you are emitting that type of mercy. But this Lord turns away from Gopal Chakravarti. He says, "No, never. I will never forgive you. Never." Ah.
Very good.
Offense Vaishnavas. Very bad. Very bad. Very, very, very bad. No chance. Nothing. Everything is destroyed by this. Oh. So, Hare Krishna. Later he was. Again, Mahaprabhu came after some time. Then Mahaprabhu, you know, couldn't. He said, "I won't forgive you. You go to Shiva's Pandit. You have made offense against him. Then you will be forgiven." This is how it is, my dear devotees. This is how it is. That these are some considerations of Kirtan, doing the Kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I would like to supply you with something from Jiva, which Jiva Goswami says. He gives that Bahu Pir Militva Kirtanam Sankirtanam. When many people gather together and sing the glories of the Lord, it is called Sankirtan or congregational singing. This congregational singing means with many, Bahu Pir Militva, is superior even to Kirtan performed alone, because it produces such extraordinary feelings. And then Jiva Goswami, he is a very interesting philosopher, makes a very interesting point. He says, this kirtan must be done according to Mahaprabhu's instruction. This is from Bhakti Sandhava. Let me see if I... Anuchedya 269. Lord Chaitanya, he says, the incarnation who delivers the souls of Kali Yuga has given the following instruction about congregational singing of the Lord Kirtan. Considering oneself to be even lower than grass, being more tolerant than a tree, being prideless and offering respect to all others, one should continuously sing
the name of Lord Hari. That feeling is the best feeling, was to protect you against aparad, that you get it right. The Jiva Goswami says in Kali Yuga there is good reason to be humble, because in Kali Yuga we have no good qualities. It's good reason to be humble. No need to be not humble. So, Hare Krishna. I wanted to now talk about a Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kirtan, but I'm thinking that you have heard now a lot, and we are also a little tired. I think we feel a little exhausted from this. I also feel like but maybe we can have an interactive just a question or two to this subject matter. Yes, our Bhushada Maharaj, then I saw Yadubara. Yes.
Maharaj, you said when Mahaprabhu started Sankirtan movement, he was chanting Hari Hari Rama Krishna, Krishna 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 Raksha Hai. Then when he started Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra was given by Ishwar Puri, this mantra.
When he chanted, Ishwara Puri gave him the name of the Lord in the mantra, which we cannot say is in our guide. You know.
Brahma Gayatri?
Yeah, no, not Brahma Gayatri. Well, you can't say it loud, but it's the that is the name of the Lord that he gave him. Then in his initiation, and then maybe we can hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear in the Sanskrit the Krishna Naam, and we are now of the Gopis, the mantra is not to be said loud, but Krishna Naam. As it is arranged in the Hare Krishna mantra and in other chants which were chanted, is to be chanted loud. That name he chanted, well, the name of Hari, from Chaitanya Charitamrita we know he chanted that in this mantra, Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Therefore, Prabhupada, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the chanting of Sri mantras should constantly go on in Sri Dhammayapur, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, then Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. So that is. Have I answered your question, or please, if I have not answered your question, say again, maybe I can. You want to know when the chanting of Hare Krishna started exactly?
Yes, I have that understanding that he started Hari Hari Nama, then Krishna 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 Hai, then he found some book called Santana Upanishad, then he introduced Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Sri Prabhu Kogilam, he Mahamantra, he has shown the job that he has put in his mind.
That's from Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Yeah. chanted Hare Krishna in the room, but he introduced Hare Krishna.
When he came back from Gaya,
yeah,
he started Hare Krishna
Mahamantra. Yeah. See, there is one evidence. It's very good to go into this detail because we wish to understand the evidence that he chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra in Shiva Sangam is found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where it is described how these Navadvip Vasis came to him in the morning. Then Mahaprabhu instructed them in the chanting of this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he said you should do that in japa with the nirantara. It says that you should do that with a bandha, nirbandha, with a vow of chanting, so numerical strength chanting. Aha! Yeah. Well, if you go a little further in Chaitanya Bhagavat, then you see that he, for Kirtan, he says, five of you gather at a step, and then you chant this Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. But now the Hare Krishna mantra must be also chanted in Shiva Sangam, isn't it? Maharaj,
that's what my understanding.
Yeah.
Anyway, at least Prabhupada gave us Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's what happened.
Prabhupada gave us the Hare Krishna mantra, and there is the verse in Kali Shantara Upanishad that it is to be chanted. The only way to cross over negativity in the Kali Yuga, I just read yesterday Srinathji's book there it is, must have been chanted then and there.
Mm-hmm. One more question is,
the Kali Santana Upanishad says, this question comes to my mind.
Yeah.
That iti surasana nam nam kali kalma sanasanam nata parataropaya sarabhyadisho drishyate. This is Hare Krishna Mahamantra 16, 32, 11, kali kalma sanasanam. This will remove the kali kalmasa. No, the bad things of Kali, impurities of the Kali. But this will give Krishna prem. Goal of our life is not to remove the impurities of Kali Yuga. That is not our role, goal. Or to become free from material bondage is not the goal. To become free from cycle of birth and death is not the goal. To go back to Vaikuntha is not the goal. But Krishna prem will come from this mantra. There is a Shastric reference like that.
Harinama. Yeah, there's Prem. He asks for Prem. If there is a Shastric reference. Well, yes, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says from this chanting of the holy name, result is Krishna Prem, the verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to this effect.
Sometimes in the scripture, very simple presentation of the initial result is Kali Kalpa Sanatana, but the ultimate result is
Yeah.
For example, Chaitanya.
Please give the microphone to
Bhakti Sarabharas
that we can hear.
Hare Krishna. I was just adding a little bit to Maharaj's question that in the scriptures, often the main or the ultimate purpose is not presented, the preliminary purpose is presented. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Ahantuan sarva papebhi moksha ishami. Like, initial consideration is, you know, elimination of the sinful reactions. So similarly, in this one also, Kali Kalma Shanashanam, the impurities of the age of the Kali will be eradicated. But the ultimate benefit actually is Krishna Prem. For example, that verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat is saying, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe tomar. Right? The ultimate perfection will be achieved through the chanting of this holy name. So that is how, you know, we have to see it. Like, whatever is preliminary result, that's just the beginning stage. But the ultimate stage is the ultimate perfection of Krishna.
You have a question?
Yeah, you mentioned the congregational chanting produces more feeling, wasn't it?
Extraordinary devotional feelings, yeah.
And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, how that happens and why it happens. And it seems that also in other devotional activities, like reading scripture together, and even I've noticed in a presentation of our films together, it also produces more. Comment on that.
Yeah, the extraordinary devotional feelings which are created with, and there are many, come, in my humble understanding, due to two factors. One is that through Sankirtan, that is, when devotees sit together and chant, Krishna becomes attracted and is there. I even heard when there is Bhagavatam Katha, and many, there is a verse like this, and many come together, Krishna comes also, sits at the back of the Katha. there is one verse like this from Skanda Purana, or Sankh Purana, I have heard from authorized sources. So that Krishna becomes attracted, and when Krishna is present, then also the other is, you know, I may not be so good when I'm with, but I'm together with others who have some experience, and their experience is reflected from their heart to my heart. Like when there is a kirtan, everyone brings his heart with him, and then the chanting of the holy name, which could be compared maybe with a ray of light, is reflected many times, and it is increased. We help each other during kirtan also. We carry each other, this example of the goose, which are flying in a flock, and by their loud calling, gook, 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 they help each other so that they feel encouraged to fly from Sweden to Africa and back. And goose alone couldn't do that. That encouragement and that spiritual, let me say, upliftment is definitely done by the many come together.
It's like very nice. Like
you know, you have a candle here, and then you have many mirrors, and it gets like in the lifts, you know, where there are many. Have you noticed when you stand in the lift, all of a sudden there are 1,000 Nimais in them, or 1,000,000 Nimais, so reflecting. I have been requested to end at 8 o'clock, and I can't believe my eyes. Usually I'm a little over time. It's 8 o'clock now. We should end here. Thank you very much. I hope.